This is Media Sales Mastery, the podcast for media sales professionals. In each episode, we bring you information, insights, and ideas from some of the industry's top thought leaders. Connect with us to help pick the topic and guide the show.
This is Media Sales Mastery, the podcast for media sales professionals. I'm your host, Jamie Wood. And this is another episode where I actually did a LinkedIn Live. It was a lot of fun. It's something I'm going to continue to do. And I really hope that I didn't have too many technical issues this time around. It doesn't seem like I did. But in terms of, I guess, the reason I wanted to do this, I just think we're in a time right now where we are in a market that could very, very easily lead to a bit of a price-sensitive, commoditized market where it could be about a race to the bottom. I've spoken a few times on LinkedIn in comments around this whole notion of creating subjective value for our media proposition. And I think I know what it means, but I wanted to actually do a session just on explaining this kind of concept because it is something I've kind of created myself. So without any further delay, I'm going to just jump straight into the raw recording, but feel free to hit me back with any questions off the back of this if you wanted to talk on it further.
Media Sales Mastery.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second ever LinkedIn Live that we have done. Very cool to be here. Appreciate you guys making the time. I know that I promoted this on LinkedIn the other day in a post, which was all around creating subjective value and how to avoid a race to the bottom if you are in media sales. And it did spawn a lot of questions around what do you mean? What is this kind of foreign concept you're talking about? This one's going to go up as a podcast. Hit me with questions in the chat throughout. But just to recap, the topic I'm covering today is called Creating Subjective Value, How to Avoid the Race to the Bottom. Now, anyone who is a frontline media seller in the market right now probably understands sort of what I'm talking about when I say objective versus subjective value. I'm going to unpack that. And then what I'm going to do is give some examples of how to actually create subjective value for our proposition, our product, and our solutions. And the reason why I think it's really timely to be doing this is price is going to be a factor moving forward into the next 12 months, right? We are in a market that is shaky. I'm not going to say soft, but we are in a shaky market. What that means is that certain clients are withholding their advertising budgets. With that comes less demand for our media products and our media solutions. What that means is that there are more publishers competing for finite revenue opportunity in the market, and this naturally leads to downward pressure on yield. It leads to supply and demand being incongruent with each other, and in order to be successful to secure revenue or to take share out of the market, media salespeople and publishers will be quite aggressive in their pricing strategies. What it also means is as things are shaky, clients are going to have more scrutiny on their media investment. They're going to need to have a really strong value proposition straight out the gates. So I think it's just important to kind of frame the context for today before we go into this whole idea of subjective versus objective value, because media markets become commoditized really quickly. Whilst we like to talk about our brands and our data and our quality of audience and the solutions we put and the thinking and the power of creativity, what we ultimately have is inventory that carries a price that agencies and or clients typically have a bit of a benchmark of what a fair and reasonable market price needs to be. So we're just in a unique situation at the moment. Subjective value is about helping you decommoditize the offering. So if the market is commoditized, creating subjective value is about moving your proposition out of that red ocean and trying to create a value proposition that is less about price and more about something else. And the best example I can probably give you to differentiate between objective value and subjective value is a watch. Okay, think about a watch. What is the objective value of a watch? What is the purpose why somebody, when a watch was invented, would have bought it? Okay, they would have bought it to tell the time. That's what it was. It was about portability. It was about easy access to the time. And in a time before having it on your phone or having ready access to a wall clock or an alarm clock, a watch was an incredibly vital piece of kit that people needed. Nobody really needs a watch anymore. Okay, their objective value is quite low because you can get the time from your phone. You can absolutely get the time from really any device these days. The subjective value of a watch is actually a really interesting space to unpack and think about. Watches aren't commoditized. Watches have actually gone up in price. Watches have become a status symbol. People wear watches, people collect watches, people look at watches as a statement of their wealth and affluence, a statement of their personality. People enjoy collecting them. People enjoy this, the aesthetics and the design. Some people enjoy the engineering. Some people enjoy the functionality. Somebody who has a watch that can be read 1,500 meters under the water is a very specific type of buyer, but that is subjective value to that particular consumer. So an advertising customer has objective reasons for buying media, and they have subjective reasons for buying media. Objective reasons are, I need to move product. I need to connect with this particular audience. I need to buy this product because it's great value. I'm going to invest in this channel because the CPM is fantastic. I've got a really good share of voice. I've got a really good campaign flighting. I've got a great bonus allocation. Giving some really kind of crude examples here, but these are all objective measures of the value of a media transaction. They're things that are typically rooted in fact or rooted in maths. They're things that are able to then be kind of rationalized as to where that media investment should go. How do we imply subjective value to a media context? Well, that's really about what I'm going to go into today. So, number one, how do you create subjective value in a commoditized media market? How do you stop the race to the bottom? In a commoditized market, you need to become the value. Okay, now I'm stealing this quote from Dave Roddick. He said this to me on a podcast he did with me, but it really resonates. The media sales professional is actually, in many cases, a major, major part of the reason why a client would choose to invest in that medium. Now, there are things that you need to bring to that relationship with your customer that create value, create subjective value for the product you are selling. You could be an absolutely superb business advisor to your clients. You could be somebody who could come in and have a really strong perspective on their business, on the market they operate in, on the competitive context that they are competing in, on how other people are planning and buying media. You could really kind of come in and lend some great value to give them a perspective on what their business is doing relative to their competitive set and in the context of a broader media market. You could be there to educate your clients. You could give them great insights on the category based on the information that your company provides you. You could give them information on what's happening with anything from above the line media investment to the future of media to a raft of other different things. So I think being able to look at yourself as somebody who creates value, somebody who has a perspective, right? And this is an important one too. Clients are looking for leadership at the moment. If the market feels shaky, if the market feels a little bit kind of murky, if it feels like everybody's a little bit confused as to what's going on, having a really clearly formulated perspective on what's going on in the market and what needs to be done at a media level is worth its weight in gold at the moment. People are looking for confidence. They're looking for leadership. They're looking for perspectives and opinions that they can then interpret and translate. So really think about yourself as the absolute advisor that is adding value to this business, that is an extension of their marketing function, that is an extension of their business strategy function, somebody who gives confidence, who has credibility, and therefore, when the time comes to invest in media, you are naturally the person they are going to lean to because they know that your depth of understanding, your knowledge, and your perspective is going to translate to the media solution you put to them. When you are doing this, you need to think specifically about who in the organization or the entity you're selling into holds the influence in terms of where media investment goes, and you need to spend a lot of time adding value specifically to those people. So this one takes a bit of time for people to wrap their brain around. I would say taking people out to long boozy lunches and getting the corporate Amex out, that's not necessarily what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is how do you become the absolute authority for your customers when they're looking to navigate this new media market that we're all entering. And an example that I might use, which I think is probably pretty poignant around creating subjective value, and being able to add value. Junkie Media were notorious for many years of doing a massive deep dive into the younger generation in Australia. Now, this was a piece of research they would commission every year. It was really looking into millennials. It was looking into getting a better understanding of that youth audience, how they would consume media, how they would make different purchase decisions, their mindset, their mood, all the different things that a marketer would want to get a better understanding of if they were looking to engage that audience. Now, that was commissioned by Junkee Media. That was not a product sell. That was not about giving objective reasons as to why Junkee is a partner that these brands should partner with. It was actually about building credibility, adding value, creating goodwill, and fostering a really nice relationship between the agencies, the marketing teams, and themselves. Therefore, when the time came to do a media campaign, Junkee were positioned as an authority, as an advisor, as a partner who educates, as a partner who provides great insights and has a perspective on how to really engage that audience. Really, really good example of kind of best practice in this space, if I do say so myself. Number two, what do you do to avoid a race to the bottom, and how do you create subjective value? Well, you need to reformulate your proposition. In times where you have a price-sensitive market, you need to think about reading the room, okay? Everybody has an offering. Everybody has something they do that makes them distinct in their perspective. What's important to remember is that this isn't set in stone. This has to be fluid. It has to be ever-changing based on the market pressures and the market dynamics. So in a market where there is more scrutiny on media investment, where maybe there's a level of consumer confidence dipping, where people are being more discerning with where they choose to spend their money, a media proposition has to really speak to this. So think about talking more around the value equation that your media solution can deliver, the efficiency with which you can reach those high value audiences, the level of effectiveness that your campaigns have in terms of moving a consumer through the kind of purchase funnel. Think about maybe selling against other media. You know, do you offer a way of reaching a particular audience more cost effectively than another medium type might be reaching them? Do you offer a unique environment? Do you offer something that could really be advantageous for a client to invest in the current market, right? If a client is very much looking at media partners and they're looking for people who can really give them value for money, the biggest thing I found is that certain media companies can really quickly pivot their messaging and their proposition to be really speaking to that. So that would be something to really think about. The other thing is, don't be afraid to kind of leverage a client's desire for lower cost. If a client wants a lower cost of media, don't think of that as them just being a rate-sensitive client. Don't think of that as bad behavior. There's clearly a rationale and a reason as to why they need to show those savings and why they need to acquire media at a lower cost. Instead, think about leveraging that, and I use this term loosely, but it's almost kind of being able to go to your client and go, if you want to unlock these types of discounts, if you'd like to leverage this type of bonus, if you want to drive maximum efficiencies in your media spend, this is kind of how I would need you to work with us. This is how we need to collaborate together to get the best possible solution. For want of a better term, this is how you have to behave in order to get an incremental edge on your competition. You have to buy and plan your media differently to the way that the market is buying it in the current context. That could be anything from buying further out. That could be something as simple as agreeing to some extended cancellation deadlines. It could be them agreeing to spend a certain amount of their budget on a particular piece of inventory or a particular product that you need them to. There's a lot of different mechanisms or leverage points here. So when it comes to thinking about, you know, avoiding that race to the bottom and creating some subjective value, it really comes down to how do you reformulate your proposition? How do you go to market with something that really feels like it's speaking to the zeitgeist of the market right now? And I've seen this done brilliantly. I mean, SCA, another example I'll give to support this, Southern Cross Austereo. I had Brian Gallagher on the podcast recently, and we spoke very briefly about the audio amplifier initiative that SCA had put together. That is a really great example of showing how stacking different audio assets together can deliver an incremental audience gain for a fraction of the cost. How that can actually be a fantastic complementary purchase to an above-the-line media buy on another asset, on another media platform. So So I've just got a question here. Oh, no, a comment. Yep. Yep, they're giving some kudos to that. I work in a media agency, and that is absolutely the point of the audio amplifier. It has gone down really well. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Kieran. That's fantastic. So that's something that we want to consider. Number two is, how do you reformulate your proposition to specifically speak to a price-sensitive market? Number three, okay, you need to add color and context to the sell. So let me add that again. You need to add color and context to the sell. If you are selling in a commoditized, price-sensitive market and you want to create subjective value for your media proposition, pitch theater, talking audience value, talking audience influence, talking audience spend power, creating a really clear picture in the buyer's mind of who this audience is, what makes them tick, what it is that makes them an aspirational audience for the brand to speak to. All of these things are complementary things that you need to add to your sell to take the conversation away from price alone. I think when we think about color and context, there's always going to be those spreadsheet metrics that are going to be there. What you're trying to do is to move away from that being the sole determinant as to where the client's media spend will go. So everybody has things that are unique to their brand, to their platform, to their product, to their proposition. I find that the media sales professionals who really get an edge are the ones who talk environment, the ones who leverage the trust and the authenticity and the power and the influence and the stickiness of their media brands. The people who talk about how they take that influence and that attention and that engagement from their media platform and they translate that to the client's brand. It's about all of these different things. It's about trust. It's about credibility. It's about prestige. It's about the premium nature. It's about the authentic nature. It's about the daggy nature. What are the things that are unique to your proposition that are not just specifically about price or product? They are things that, if deployed correctly, if used effectively, if you know, integrated into your pitch, integrated into your solution, can actually move the dial for a brand who are looking to compete in the marketplace. And I think the goal here is always to think about what is something that, if I'm reviewing three or four publishers' solutions that they put forward, what's the one or two things that I have that are unique, that's distinct, that are really difficult for the client to actually walk away from in favor of going with another partner? Now, I'm not saying that's easy, but that should be the aspiration on every pitch, particularly every competitive pitch. What's something that's painful to walk away from? If you don't know the answer, I would suggest you've got to keep going until you find that solution, because if you can find it, it has massive, massive upside. And I think the other part too, when we're thinking about this, is everything on the plan has to play a role. Okay, so if we're in a market where it's about streamlining the buy, it's about efficiency, effectiveness, it's about value, think about what you're putting on the plan. Think about the context that you sell, right? Everything on here is absolutely aligned to the strategy that you're looking to put into plan. Everything we're putting forward is about achieving the objective that we agreed we need to solve here. Nothing here is ancillary. Nothing here is going to create drag. That's another one too, right? If resources are tight, if there's scrutiny on media budget, if CMOs and marketing teams or agencies are expected to do more than before, don't create more work for them. So many great ideas, so many great pitches have fallen down when the implementation burden that is put back onto the agency or client is overwhelming or not palatable for them to be able to do. Okay, really think about making sure that you remove those post-sales fulfillment barriers too and incorporate that into your sell. Hey, listen, I'm sure you've probably been wowed by a bunch of great ideas from clients. One of the things that we wanted to really make sure was critical to our solution was that this is streamlined, that this is absolutely aligned to your core objective, and that this is easy to execute, that this is a turnkey solution for you guys. One campaign implementation form, a couple of assets, a couple of credit lines, we'll manage the whole post-sales fulfillment for you. We'll monitor in real time. We will send you campaign updates as they go live. We're going to take as much of this off you as you can so you can focus on what you need to. That's adding color and context to the sell. That's vital context in a market where there is downward pressure on resourcing and there's focus on doing a lot of things. So number three, add color and context to the sell. This one is one that is not worth overlooking, guys. Do we have any questions so far? Got some comments in the chat. Thank you, Nedra. Just trying to understand this one. Leverage the client's desire for lower cost. What do you mean by how to behave? Okay, so that's going back. Sorry, you may have joined us a bit late there. When we were talking about reformulating your proposition, one of the things I was talking about is if a client's looking to drive a deep discount and they're looking to get a lower price point on their media, then you can actually utilize that for some different things. Things such as asking them to commit longer term, say to a longer term contract, asking them to plan further out so that you get more forward visibility on what your pipeline is and you can show some forward revenue. It's really just about letting the client know that if they really want to drive some lower cost, you can absolutely work with them as a partner to do that, but you can use that as leverage to obviously get some other things that you need in order to sell that internally. Does that make sense? Cool. Okay, great. Great. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, number three is you need to add color and context to the sell. So I think that's pretty well summed up. Number four, the last one, and I'm going to tread very carefully here because I don't want this to come across as salesmanship or trickery or anything that feels a little bit, shall we say, unethical, because it's not. But the heading is create competitive tension. Okay, and what I mean by creating competitive tension is every client that you sell to operates within a competitive marketplace. Okay, they operate within a category, they operate within an industry, they are competing and vying for the same eyeballs, the same ears, the same attention, the same revenue as a number of other clients who operate in their space. One of the things that's really key to creating subjective value for your media solution is showing how you are able to actually give that client a competitive edge in their category. If you can bring some quality thinking to your solution, if you can show that you understand their marketplace, you understand their target consumer group, you understand the triggers that make that consumer group buy, and you know how to connect your brand with that audience and their brand, if you know how to connect those three in a way that makes perfect sense, you are creating subjective value. Price becomes secondary if you can show that you've got a solution that will give them a competitive edge in their marketplace. Nowhere near enough media sales professionals sell this way. And this is absolutely a proven game plan for driving not only revenue to your business, but driving absolutely, I would say, the best campaign results for your clients. Because at the heart of every media solution, this is what we are trying to do. We are trying to grow our clients' business through the investment of media. So creating competitive tension is about a couple of things. Category suppression. How can you freeze this brand's competitors out of certain environments? How can you give them a greater share of voice? How can you give your client ownership of a premium property that you have that these other competitive brands might want? How can you help them flank the market? One of the best examples of flanking the market is you've got a client who has a fifth of the budget of their biggest competitors, but through some really clever placement, some really clever strategies, some really clever creative executions, you're going to show them how they can outmaneuver their competitive set and how they can make themselves feel bigger, how they can reach more people, how they can compete when they've got a 10,000-pound gorilla in the market sucking up all the oxygen. One of the other things that's just really, really kind of timely is just like great insights into how the competitive set actually operate. Don't disclose anything commercially sensitive, right? This is a big one. Don't disclose how brands plan and buy media. Don't disclose anything that you would feel is crossing the line in terms of sharing information, but speak broadly. If there's a trend that you identify around how a particular category or industry plans and buys your medium, if there's sort of a playbook for how they build their campaigns, if there are some common themes that you're seeing, don't be afraid to share that with your client, right? That creates competitive tension. That absolutely creates subjective value because what you're able to then do is show how you can take that playbook and you can actually create a bespoke solution for your client that is somewhat outmaneuvering what everybody else does. So these are some interesting areas to think about. But if you think about just that perspective, right? Imagine if I came to you as a media sales professional today and I wanted to sell you a 1-hour consulting gig, right? So I'm going to sell you, it's going to cost you $1,000. You're going to spend an hour with me and I'm going to sell you a consulting session. Now I could either go, I'm going to give you my 1-hour consulting session. It's already pre-built. It's going to involve a bit of a diagnostic on your marketplace. It's going to involve a bit of self-reflection. And then I'm going to give you a bit of a tailored strategy and we're going to do a swap together. Okay, yeah, sure. I mean, seems pretty cookie cutter. Maybe I'll get some different stuff out of that. $1,000 feels like a lot of money for 1 hour of that, Jamie. Now imagine if I came to you and said, okay, I've got a really good understanding of how the media sales professionals in your channel go to market. I know how they actually sell. I know their playbooks. I know the products they focus on. I know the way that they engage their clients. I know what their clients like about buying from them. I know what their clients probably want more from you for. I'm going to give you all of that information, and then you and I are going to formulate a strategy to make you win in this marketplace. Okay, that's different. That's actually subjective value. That's created through me creating competitive tension. I'm showing you that I understand your marketplace, I understand your customer base, I understand your business, and through my unique perspective, I'm going to be able to create something with you that is tailor-made for your exact scenario that is going to make you win. So that's just me on the fly, but those are the kinds of, I guess, comparisons that I would make when you think about objective versus subjective value. There's my cookie cutter, 1-hour coaching session over here for $1,000. It's these four steps. Anyone could buy it. Anyone can go through it. You're probably not going to get anything amazing out of it, but it's probably something that may generate some sort of a result versus something like this, which is, here's what I can offer to you that absolutely has merit right now, that is built just for you. I could not do this coaching session with anyone but you. Therefore, it's $1,000. Those are the kind of the different parallels. By the way, I don't do paid coaching, so just take that with a grain of salt. That was just an example to demonstrate a point. But that's another thing to think about in terms of creating subjective value, is creating competitive tension in order to show how you can help your client's brand win. So, as a recap, let's think about it. We are selling in a depressed, highly contested marketplace. There is going to be finite opportunity and every publisher vying for it. Supply and demand are incongruent. Therefore, what happens is demand outstrips supply, downward pressure happens on our yield, and we basically become a race to the bottom, and people sit there and can analyze three publishers with a spreadsheet and figure out who is going to be the best. If you want to stop that race to the bottom, if you want to get out of the price battle, you have to figure out a way how to create objective value, but specifically, you have to also create subjective value. People buy 100% on emotion, 100% on emotion, and then they use objective rationalization to basically decide on what they're going to do. People post-rationalize. I think this is something that I need to tread carefully, because I don't want anyone who works in an agency or a marketing team to think that I'm saying that they don't have a robust method for comparison. They absolutely do. But what I'm saying is, if you're just relying on a spreadsheet to sell your medium, or if you're just relying on objective measures for value to be the way by which your customers analyze you, you are going to be really taking a share of the market that's probably pretty close to what you should be taking. Subjective value is the key to a fantastic three-dimensional sell, and it's the key to making sure that in the current marketplace, you can move the conversation away from just price. So to recap, how do we create subjective value? Number one, you become the value. It's not about selling the product. It is about you giving the subjective value to the customers through your approach, your expertise, through your advisory services, and through your perspective. Number two, reformulate and repackage your proposition. Your proposition is not set in stone, okay? Your proposition has to change based on the unique market pressures, and that can be everything from being about data and research and insights to being about efficiency, to being about value, to being about effectiveness. Whatever you need to do to reformulate position, your proposition so that it has utility and relevance in the market, you need to do that. And that's something you need to lean on your sales leader, on your product team, on your strategy team to help you craft. But I would suggest the first starting point there is your customers. Talk to your clients, ask them what they want, take that information back into your business, interpret and translate that into a reformulated, repackaged proposition. Number three, add color and context to the sell. I'm not saying gimmicks, but I am saying that if you go in and try to just ladder up objective reasons as to why your product, its features are better than your competitors' products and features, why your price is better, why your bonus is better, going into those spreadsheet metrics, you are missing a massive opportunity to add additional color and context, talking audience value, talking about brand trust, talking about how you can connect your client's brand with a high-value audience they want to reach in a way that makes perfect sense. Okay, the mechanism by which you do that is your media inventory, but the media inventory is secondary to the core focus of connecting those two. If that feels like a cohesive solution, if it's packaged beautifully, if there is a transfer of belief to the client that it will do the job, it becomes very hard to unbundle or scrutinize individual elements of that. Add color and context to the sell. And number three, not to be confused, and I had a big disclaimer before, create competitive tension, okay? We operate in a competitive marketplace, so do our clients. Our clients are vying for attention, they are vying for interest, they are vying for revenue from a customer set that is also being actively courted by their competitors. Find a way to unearth what is happening in your client's category. Find a way to give them an edge, a competitive edge in their sector through drawing upon a vast group of resources, a bunch of research, a bunch of information that you have at your hand. Show how you can make their budget work harder. Show how you can flank the market and give them an edge on a competitor. Show some of the deficiencies in what their competitor set are doing. Show some examples of best practice from their competitors. And then take all of that and show how you can build something that is going to, all things considered in their sector, give them an edge. Competitive tension does move media investment because what you're ultimately doing is showing the client that you are a business partner, not a product pusher. So that is it. I am going to upload this as a podcast. I think this recording will be live for the next hour or two on LinkedIn. Thank you guys for joining. At last count, I think there were 9 of you, so thank you. It's a growth on the last one, which I think was 7. But appreciate you making the time to be here today. And thank you for supporting the podcast and what I'm trying to do here. It's very much appreciated. Have a great day.